Brother Dwayne asks that we read from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 45. And wish you all a blessed new year. I tried to purpose a little bit. We say Happy New Year many times with our work on at market, and people, you hand them a bag and you casually say Happy New Year's. And I tried my hardest, I failed several times, but to instead wish people a blessed New Year. There's a big difference between being blessed and being happy. A lot of people are looking for happiness, but when you're blessed, that don't always mean you're happy, but we realize where we're at with God. And it was rather interesting sometimes to see people's facial expressions when you say that. They weren't used to it. It was a little challenge to myself, and I had to think when Brother Luke Booker had revivals here one time, he mentioned that, and he said, if people ask how you're doing, he said, we should say that we are blessed. That's where I got that, and I just think there's so much truth to that. And I think of what Brother George said about those in Ukraine. We are blessed, but if it's taken away, we're still blessed. We have hope. We have hope in our Savior. And you know, sometimes if I get to thinking about it, I can almost feel guilty about getting up and going about my daily routine when I think about what them people are doing. But if we don't, we can't help them. So right now, we're blessed materially, physically, and my prayer is that we share it wherever we can. So John 8, verses 31 to 45. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, we would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. With that reading on our minds, let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you for praying for the speaker this evening, which happens to be me this time. I appreciate your prayers and Brother Clay's prayer on my behalf. The title this evening is Satan the Liar. And sometimes people can be very naive or gullible, and they believe what amounts to be a hoax. And we may not want to admit it, but perhaps we've fallen for one or so in the past. C. Lewis Mortensen was a Connecticut correspondent for the Waterbury Republican and American, and he had a way of presenting hoaxes through a make-believe farmer, and the farmer's name was Lester Green. No offense to Lester sitting back here. It was Lester Green. But Madison would write about Green's incredible experiences, which were simply a hoax, but frequently they would be believed by readers. Now listen to some of what Mortensen wrote about Farmer Green. He wrote that Green discovered a fluid in pigs that makes their tails curl, and when his wife and daughter rubbed it into their hair, it gave them permanent waves. That report elicited numerous inquiries. Green also found that by putting two setting hens on his automobile on cold nights, the engine was warm enough to start easily in the morning. He explained that since a clutch temperature is 102 degrees, two hens on the hood raised the temperature to 204 degrees, easily starting the vehicle. When Green sprayed his apple trees with glue one fall, and thus could pick fresh apples from the trees throughout the winter, he received letters from American and Canadian glue companies asking what type of glue he had used. How do people believe such things, we wonder. But you know, perhaps you and I are believing lies or believing hoaxes, if you will, that are much more serious, much more harmful and damaging and destructive to our lives. And I can't help but think that as we've talked about entering the new year and appreciated Brother George's sermon this morning and how we approach that, and as we enter a new year, that Satan isn't going to change and that he's going to be a liar as he has been in the past, and he's going to continue to throw at us his lies and his ways of trying to destroy us and to turn us aside and present us from time to time, and maybe quite often, so that lies that we will accept as truth, lies that he fabricates because he is simply trying to discourage or to defeat us or to have us live in defeated lives. You know, as believers, I'm not telling you anything new, but Satan doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. The name Satan, which is found over 50 times in Scripture, comes from a Hebrew word which means adversary or opposer. He's God's adversary. He opposes God. And since we're born again believers and we've aligned ourselves with God through Jesus Christ and we take Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, he is now our adversary, our opposer. And he likes nothing less than to throw lies at us that we'll believe and to cause us problems and to tear down the name of Christ. In Scripture, Satan is also called the devil, which means one who slanders or one who trips up. So Satan, the devil, is trying to trip us up with lies, untruths about us. He's a deceiver and very good at it. He's the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He sends thoughts our way like, you're not good enough. God doesn't love you. You're not really a Christian. You're a failure. That sickness you have is going to kill you, so God doesn't love you. You've sinned one too many times. And on we could go, and sad to say, too often, we believe what he says. And he's accomplished what he set out to do. We need to realize where these thoughts are coming from and who they're coming from. And we have to recognize them as lies and Satan's lies, because The truth is, he's a liar. The text that Brother Clay read, I mainly wanted that read for verse 44, where Jesus doesn't pull any punches, as we say. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." I doubt whether there is any one person who lies all the time. You know, maybe you know of a habitual liar, or you've known of one in your life who seems to always be telling lies, but even those people likely tell the truth at times. You know, Satan never has times when he speaks the truth. Never. He always lies. He lies all the time, 24/7, as we say. There is no truth, none in him. So Satan will never tell us something that is true, and it's very important for us to remember that. He'll try to make something seem true by mixing some truth with a lie, but remember, whenever something is mixed, a lie is mixed with the truth, it is always a lie. You know, the devil cannot make us do anything. Do you believe that? He's powerful, but he's not that powerful. He cannot make you do something. The old saying that the devil made me do it is simply not true. However, what happens, he is a liar and he is a masterful deceiver, so that he presents things to us. He's very good at making things seem like they're true so that we will choose to believe them. He can't make us, but he's good at making them seem like they're true so that we will choose to believe them. He's a masterful liar, a deceiver. And that's where the problem is. The problem is not Satan making us do something, but it's us choosing to believe what he makes seem to be true. So let's consider a couple of his approaches. And I by no means claim to be covering the whole basket of his operation. But let's consider a couple of his approaches. And Satan may use that when we recognize them, that it should raise a red flag in our minds so that Satan, and we might think, you know, Satan might actually be sending me something here and I better perk up and pay attention. He may be sending me one of his lies to see if I'll believe it. First of all, the devil, Satan, may use words like "you can't" or have us thinking "I can't." For instance, "you can't follow God because you're too..." And then you fill in the blank. Too sinful, too much of a failure, too much of a hypocrite. "You can't do this or that because you're not qualified. You're not gifted. You're not smart enough." And you know, it is true that we can't do everything, nor do I think that we should think we can or expect someone else to. But we can do everything that God wants us to do. And that includes overcoming our sins and failures by God's grace. And sometimes that takes the help of others, but with God's help, accomplishing his will in our lives, that can happen. Satan wants us to think it can't. Satan may use, or may say this, he may say, "You can't have a good life because God isn't giving you a good job. You can't have a good life. God isn't giving you good health. Or you can't have a good life because God is blessing someone else more." Well, the truth is that God has good plans for us. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." It's God speaking, saith the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And the thought there of the expected end is to give us a future or a hope. God has good plans to give us hope and a future. May not be the way I think it should be, but he's given us a future and a hope. Beware of the words you can't or words similar to that. It may very well be the deceiver feeding us a lie. A second approach of Satan is beginning a statement with the words God won't or God doesn't. God won't help me because dot, 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 fill in the blanks. God doesn't love me because dot, dot, dot. God won't forgive me because God doesn't hear me when I pray. God won't provide for me. God doesn't care. God won't always be there. God won't care if you do that little sin. Again, beware of the words God won't or God doesn't or words similar to them, because it may very well be Satan sending us a lie and hoping we'll choose to accept it, believe it. And then if we do, he has a foothold in our lives and in a way of bringing about discouragement and fear and doubts, even loss of hope. Beware of the words Satan may use to try and deceive us. What is the best way to handle Satan's lies? Well, Jesus really referred to it here in our text. He said, continue in my word. And then he said in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The best way to handle Satan's lies is to know the truth. Does it stop there? I can know a whole lot of truth. I can have photographic memory and read the dictionary and know the whole dictionary. Right? What do I need to do to make it effective? I need to believe what it said. So not only do I need to know the truth, I need to choose to believe it, right? We need to know the truth, and we need to choose to believe it. Knowing the truth is not enough. We need to choose to believe it. We either choose to believe God or we choose to believe Satan. You can't have it both ways. We either believe one or the other. So the best way to handle Satan's lies is to know the truth and choose to believe the truth. We want to consider some of the lies that we may receive from Satan. Specific lies. And again, this is just 10, and this won't take that long. Don't get too excited. When you hear 10, I'll go over them pretty quickly. There would be a lot more, I'm sure. But these are 10 that we'll deal with tonight. Lie number one, I am alone. No one else struggles like I do. How do we handle it? With truth. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands our struggles with sin. He doesn't excuse it. He doesn't condone it. But he understands it. And he wants to help us overcome. You know, people may not understand. And sometimes the people can be very insensitive to our problem. And think that we shouldn't have a problem. And sometimes they're uncaring or unkind in their response to our problem. But Jesus, our high priest, is understanding. We are not alone. We have the truth of God's word that a high priest that understands, he's there to help us through it. Lie number two, if I'm suffering or not happy, then God must not love me. The truth to counteract that is that God never promised we wouldn't have any kind of suffering. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Romans 8, verses 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Sounds like we should expect them. There's going to be sufferings. God never promised we wouldn't have any kind of suffering. James 1, 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Expect it. Count it a joy. I believe that even in suffering, we can have joy because of God's love for us. Romans 5, 5 talks about us having this joy because of God's love being poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Listen to Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The truth is that God loves me, he loves you, no matter if we feel happy or not. Right? Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor how I feel. Doesn't say that, but it may as well, because it means it, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fact that God loves me gives me the greatest joy. To give you the greatest joy. The fact that God loves me. Brian, can you imagine that? And you don't even know me that well, Brian. You think you know me, but you don't know me as well as I know me. And God loves me. That brings me the greatest joy. Well, lie number three. I'll be happy when this happens, or when I get this or that. The truth is, we're happy when we learn contentedness. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. True happiness is only lasting when we learn to be content with our lives. It's the only way true happiness will be lasting. When we learn to be content with our lives. Lie number four. I can't get past my past. My sin was too terrible. Truth. To deal with that, when God forgives, he removes sin forever and never to be used against us again. Psalm 103. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? Infinite. The scripture even says that God forgets our sins through Christ's blood. Hebrews 10. 16 to 7, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You see, when we know the truth and we choose to believe it, the lies that Satan throws at us have nothing to stand on. You know, we sometimes like to categorize sins, think of one as worse than another, but to God, sin is sin. I think sometimes, you know, ones we tend to overlook, and I'm including myself, the one that we tend to overlook quicker is pride, and yet it's so subtle, and God hates it. The truth is that we can get past our past because of God's forgiveness, regardless of what anyone else says or thinks. God says, I forgive you. Lie number five, God is not really good. We may be tempted to believe this one, depending on what else is going on in our lives. The truth is Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. He chooses to do that through the redemption as in Christ Jesus. God is so good that he chooses to save us freely by his grace. That's how good he is. Psalm 119:68, referring to the Lord, says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Lie number six, Satan likes to throw at us, I can't forgive. There may be something that we just can't let go of. We just don't think we can forgive someone. Well, the truth is Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Since God is willing and does forgive you and me, then we are able through Christ to forgive everybody and anybody. There's no good reason why we can't. It's simply a lie of Satan that he wants us to choose to believe. You can't forgive. Lie number seven, the Bible isn't relevant today. It can't be trusted. It's not true. The truth to deal with that one is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction and in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Things that are true don't change, regardless of what society says. Neither do things that are right or wrong. The truth is always relevant, and it never changes. The Bible is always relevant, no matter what day, what year we're living in. Another one of Satan's lies. Lie number eight, nobody cares about me. You ever hear that one? Well, how about some truth to counteract that one? Romans 8, 31 and 32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 is rather blunt, and the rest says it pretty plain. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he don't care. Is that what it says? For he careth for you. He careth for me. God cares about you and me. So don't believe the lies Satan throws at us that nobody cares. You know, we need to be taking time to show each other that we care. Hebrews 10:25 references that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, and part of that is showing that we care for each other. Satan wants us to believe that nobody cares about us, but in reality, people do care, and God especially cares. Lie number 9, I don't matter, I'm not important. Well, I'm going to give you a familiar verse for the truth for this one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The old saying is that if there was one person on this earth, Jesus would have came and died for one person, you, me. Because he loves us that much. We do matter that much. I saw, and I shared this with the school students, but I think it was at Abbottstown on there at the one church on their sign. I like to read those things that they put on signs sometimes. Sometimes they're interesting. And I remember seeing this. It said, if God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. Some of the people here don't know anything about that. How we used to have wallets that had sleeves in them that we put our little pictures of our children in. Why? Because they were important to us. Now we don't use a wallet with sleeves. What do we use? We use a cell phone with pictures right on it, right? Those are where we... Here, you want to see my grandson? If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. That's how much he thinks, that's how much you matter, how important you are to him. He loves you that much. And then lie number 10, it's too late. You've wasted too many opportunities, too many years. God doesn't want me anymore. It's a powerful lie of Satan, and I think really Brother George addressed that one this morning. But it's a powerful lie of Satan that too many times, too many people believe. Listen to the truth. Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning. Romans 103:8. Listen to how the verse starts and how it ends. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It begins with mercy and ends with mercy. God wants to give us a fresh start. And he's more than willing to do so. It's not too late to make good changes. He's merciful. His compassions are new every morning. Doesn't matter if we're 16, 18, 20-some, 50-some, you name the age. Well, there are many more lies that Satan throws at us. We've only looked at 10 in this message. And I got to think that we've heard at least a few of them, and maybe all of them. Hopefully we've been encouraged by the truth and encouraged to use the truth when Satan tries these lies on us in the future. I like the way the songwriters wrote this about defining Satan And it really says about him what I've been trying to say. I've heard him tell me I'm not enough. No matter how hard you try, you'll never measure up. I've heard him whisper that you can't be loved, with a voice as cold as ice and a crooked tongue. But the devil, his words are poison and nothing but a bunch of noise. And he might as well get behind me. And in case he needs reminding, he's a liar, liar, headed for a lake of fire. He's a liar, liar, headed for a lake of fire. You can't believe a word coming out of his mouth. I'm heading north, he's heading south. Because he's a liar, liar, headed for a lake of fire. God help us to be aware that he is trying to trip us up, trying to discourage us, trying to defeat us. God help us to respond with the truth, to know the truth and choose to believe it instead of believing his lies.
Several times in opening tonight, we heard the word, we are a blessed people. And that we certainly are. We were blessed one more time to be here again tonight and hear from God through our dear brother, Dwayne. And that's not a lie. You know, think about it. We had no choice who our parents would be. We had no choice where, what part of the world we would be born in. But here we are tonight, seated under the sound of the gospel. The precious blood, the one that loves us beyond what our minds can imagine. Shall we stand for closing prayer?